Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I'm your host, Genevieve, and I'm incredibly passionate about this week's topic of discussion on creating an enjoyable work week. How often do you find yourself experiencing the Sunday scaries or counting down the days to the weekend? What about the dreading of particular days because they are packed with time-draining meetings or feeling like you can never quite get ahead of all the work piled up on your plate? Burnout is real, with 94% of service professionals in the U.S. spending over 50 hours working per week, while many of these people continue to work on the weekends. It's no wonder we struggle to find a work-life balance, even though 72% of people consider work-life balance a top priority when job searching. So what if you could create a work week that was actually enjoyable, and you showed up on Monday feeling recharged and refreshed? Sounds like a dream, right? In this week's episode, I share some of the tips and systems I implement when health coaching companies and their teams. We'll talk about the importance of setting personal boundaries and how to do so, systems to prepare us for the unexpected, how to create a realistic and productive to-do list, and how to get the most value out of our weekends. This is a packed episode and requires a little homework on your end. So let me know, what goals are you setting for yourself to create a better work-life balance? What systems work best for you? And what tips do you have that allow you to show up your best in your workspace and in your personal life? After all, we learn best when we learn from each other. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Your Zest Life. Your Zest Life is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com, Boise, or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-IMPRINT. 467-7468. Well, hello, hello. Welcome back. Genevieve here, your host on Your Zest Life. And you have just me today, and I'm talking about something that is really been a huge game changer for me in my life, and something that when I put a poll up asking what topics would be relevant to you, we talked about, let's see here, the seasons of change, how our bodies evolve with the natural evolution of change in seasons. And then there was one more that I know I'm going to get back to, and now I like cannot think of it. But the one that we're talking about today, we're talking about having a productive work week, and not just a productive work week, but a productive work week in working towards a four-day work week. How many times are we going to say work week on this podcast? Let's see. It's something that I heard this idea of a four-day work week, and I was really intrigued by it as someone who does not have a typical 9-to-5 schedule. It's been a challenge for me to find a work-life balance. And I think this is something that we're seeing more prevalent in our culture and our society today. And along with that, you know, not only do I not really have a typical 9-to-5 work life, but I also really enjoy what I do. And so it's hard to find a work-life balance there because, you know, I enjoy when I go to the studio, I enjoy socializing with our writers, I love being present in my instructors' classes, going to trainings. And that can be really easy to get so wrapped up in that suddenly, you know, you had an hour-long class and you're there for a couple hours. And that's not a bad thing, right? Like, you should want to enjoy where you work and you should want to be around the people that you work with. But even the things that we enjoy, we can still get burnt out on. And that's where this idea of how to have a productive work week, where we're not just working the grind Monday through Friday to try to get to the weekend, where who knows, maybe we're even working on the weekend. You know, there's pros and cons of working a few hours on the weekend so that when you come to Monday, maybe you feel, you know, ahead of the game, you feel caught up. But then at the same time, what does that tell us about how we're spending our work week? If we feel like we need to work weekends to feel caught up for Monday, only to feel like we're behind by the time Friday's over. And there have been a couple times in my careers where I've felt this feeling of severe burnout. And when I say severe burnout, I mean, right, you're mentally, you're emotionally depleted. You feel like you have no motivation, you have no zest to keep going, and you really struggle with having clarity in how to move forward, how to give your best into your job. And so my first time I really experienced this burnout and feeling like I was in a dead end, I mean, I was in my mid-20s, right? And that's pretty young to be feeling like you're in a dead end at a job that you've really just started. And at that time, I was working for Women's Health. I was living in Manhattan, and I was starting my day at 4:30 in the morning. I was working until, you know, 7:30, if not later at night, and then also coming in on the weekends or doing evening things where I was covering different events and doing different assignments and just feeling exhausted. I also felt very undervalued and not very appreciated. And in addition to that, I was trying to do everything to keep my sanity and also to have a good quality of life. I was trying to socialize with friends and make new connections to help with my career. I also was new to the city, so I was trying to enjoy what the city had to offer. And there's so many things that you get to do in New York, right? So that was something that was adding to my stress too, is here I felt like when I wasn't working, I needed to not be resting, but enjoying, you know, going to Saturday Night Live and waiting in line for tickets and going to meet Mindy Kaling at her autograph signing. And in addition to that, we have those things that we feel like we need to do in our routines and our systems to help set us up for success. So meal prep, I was exercising an insane amount at the time, and I ultimately was incredibly unhealthy at that time. I didn't have a period for about 7 years. Felt really disconnected from who I was and what I was supposed to be doing. And I think that this point was where it initiated a shift for me, in that something needed to change. And so I don't know if you're at that point right now where you're just feeling like, I can't get my head above water. I feel like I'm just stuck. I'm paralyzed. I need a shift. And so I'm hoping that that's what you get from this episode today. You know, and the next time that I felt this burnout was actually quite recently, last year, and then for about the first half of this year. And this one was interesting. Again, I don't have that typical 9-to-5 job. I have a few part-time jobs that make up an overtime commitment, and balance has been really difficult for me to find. Again, because I love what I do. I really take pride in that I have found a way to feel fulfilled in my career, feel like I'm making an impact in my community, feel like I'm helping others. These are things that are really important to me. But with that being said, because it's three different roles, you know, with being our lead instructor over at Cycle Bar and helping with onboarding and training talent, but also doing my own classes, and then being a health and fitness coach with my clients, I'm going out in the community, working with other businesses, right? And then running Women's Community and now building a team with that to help me. It's really easy to suddenly realize, like, I've been working from 7 o'clock this morning to it's now 6:37, 7:30, and trying to identify boundaries. This is something, again, I think that we're seeing a lot more of, and that's why I think it's really important to talk about. When it hit me, I was realizing I was doing anywhere on average from about 50 to 70 hours a week. And in my head, I'm thinking, how many of those hours, though, are actually being productive, right? How many hours that we're working during the week are actually being productive? And this is something I've really dived into this year, and I feel so knowledgeable in it, I think, because, right, we teach what we know. We teach to the things that we ourselves are working on, especially if you're a coach out there in the community, you know this. If you're an expert in body image or body love, it's because you yourself have had to go through this journey of identifying how do we have a healthy body image, right? Or if you're coaching someone on finances, probably because you yourself have been in debt and you yourself have gotten to a point where you no longer can handle being in the position you're in. So you educate yourself on how to get out of that. And because you've had to actually fight the battle, you can better teach someone else because you can empathize with them and you can relate. And so that's where I'm in a really good place right now to say that I still feel stress, I still do get anxiety, it's not as frequent. And I feel really good about this balance that I'm creating. And it's something that I've gone on to now work with different companies. And I work with different teams in identifying how to find a good work-life balance. And this is something that honestly, I feel like we could do like a three-parter, but I'm going to try to give you as much information as I can in this one episode. And then we'll see from there. If you have additional questions or if something that I identified today, you want to dive in deeper, let's unpack that together. So as with everything, you know, send me a message. You can find me on Instagram at Genevieve_Nutting Howarth. You can email me. Whatever you feel most comfortable with, and that's how I make sure that I'm delivering content to you that's really purposeful. So, like with everything that we do, if we have a goal or we're looking to initiate change, we have to have clarity. And to have clarity, we have to first identify our goals and the why behind it. So the goal here, right, a more productive work week, an enjoyable work week, enjoying what we do. And for me, that goal gets a little more specific in working towards a 4-day work week. And the whys behind that are I'm looking to have less stress, more cohesion in my work life, and my ability to be present with my husband, to be able to be present with my family and my friends, more creating a schedule I genuinely enjoy. So less avoidance, you know, when you wake up and I had a day like this the other day where I'm like, man, my schedule is just back to back to back. And before on days like that, it would stress me out to the point where I wouldn't sleep the night before and I'd be groggy and tired and not very present in those meetings. And so creating a work week where I don't have one of those like, gosh, I just have to make it through Wednesday or, man, I'm really not looking forward to Tuesday and less of those Sunday scaries. Right, where you wake up on Sunday and suddenly half of your weekend is wasted because you're just nervous and you're in your head and you're anxious as you prepare for Monday. I also want to get away from working weekends, and I want to find a way to reduce my hours without reducing my pay. You know, ultimately, I've done a little more research, and we won't get too much into this whole idea of a 4-day work week, but I think some of these concepts we talk about, if this is a goal for you as well, these are things that you can incorporate. You know, studies have shown that a 4-day work week do boost our happiness and our productivity. Like I said, this is something I work with companies and different teams on. And I found a statistic that said 85% of companies that offer work-life balance programs for their employees report an increase in productivity. Now, I also found that 94% of service professionals in the U.S. spend over 50 hours working per week, many of these people working on the weekends. So again, we've moved away from this 40-hour work week. And then 48% of Americans considering themselves to be workaholics. It's almost half of our country considering themselves as workaholics. And I think that's where this idea of a badge of honor starts to come in, which I talk about more with Natalie on the Boise Bubble podcast, right? This idea of I'm busier than you and that makes me more successful. And I won't get too much into that today because we do have a really thoughtful conversation on that, which I would encourage you to listen to. The last part that I found was really interesting in this study is that 72% of people consider work-life balance when job searching. Isn't that so interesting? That's one of our biggest goals when we're looking at a new job or we're looking for our career. And yet we find ourselves, you know, again, that 50% mark of feeling like we're workaholics. So this shows me, when I listen to those facts, that there's a crucial opportunity we as employers are missing. What it also shows me, though, right, the optimistic side of me shows that we as workers can take ownership in this. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. The first part of this is, I think, boundaries are crucial. Boundaries in our relationships, right? Boundaries in our work life. These are going to help us to be our most successful selves and to be productive with the hours that we have. So a couple things that I could think of when thinking of boundaries are, first off, what do you need to feel energized and invigorated? So there's personality tests that you can take out there, the Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, that break down based off of your personality. Like, these are what your needs are, and it's fascinating. This will have to be another podcast where we really break down personalities. But they also start to tell you, like, how you get refilled and how you get recharged. Do you get recharged by being with people? Do you get recharged by being by yourself? And also, when are you the most creative? I would encourage you this week, when you're working, to really take note when you wake up in the morning and as you go throughout your day. When are the hours that you feel the most creative? When are the hours where you feel the most productive, the most energized? And this is where you should be either scheduling time to do your tasks that really require a lot of creative juices, right? That really require you to be fully present. These are the hours where you should not be checking email, by the way. Email is something that takes up a lot of our energy. And also looking at, you know, when are you scheduling meetings? So if you're scheduling meetings that don't require you to be super involved, meaning you're not the one having to come up with decisions, probably avoiding having those meetings during your creative hours where you can actually be producing content, that would be a good way for you to get started in these, again, creating boundaries. So when are you checking email? When are you scheduling your meetings? What nights are you going to say no to connecting, right, to doing the happy hour? When are you going to start your day? When are you going to finish your day? When are you going to take calls? When are you going to have a do not disturb hour? I started turning my phone into do not disturb during certain hours during the day so that I could be completely present with my work. I wouldn't be having calls coming in. I also acknowledge that some of us don't have the luxury to do that, right? You've got kids who are in school and you need to be accessible, or maybe your phone is your work phone and so you can't turn it on do not disturb. And that's where this takes a little bit more self-control on our end in identifying, okay, I've got my phone, it's just here so that if people need to reach me, they can reach me, and that's that. But noting, you know, identifying what are, and we talked about this on a previous podcast, but what are your energy suckers? So for me, if I get on my phone, I start to check my email, I start to check my social media. Now all of a sudden I'm checking someone else's social media, I'm seeing what they're doing, and now I'm looking at these reels, and suddenly I'm watching a video of a golden retriever drumming on a pot and pan, which is actually a legit funny video. But it's not what I need to be doing during my creative hours of 9 to 1. Right? So identifying and knowing yourself, when are the hours where I'm the most creative? What are the hours where I'm the most productive? And when are the hours where I just need to check out? For me, in my hours, if I'm teaching during the day, I know that I need to set aside an hour in the middle of the day to just turn off my brain. Otherwise, I'm working from about 7 in the morning till about, you know, 7:30 at night. And that's when I'm not my most productive self. And so for that hour, maybe I'm doing laundry. I'm going and taking the dogs for a walk. You know, I'm doing whatever I need to that day to feel like I'm being productive and to feel like I am fully taking advantage of that day. Another thing that has really helped me is I don't schedule meetings on Monday. I've got one ongoing meeting that I keep, but it's early in the afternoon. But Monday's my day. I ride with my dad in the morning. I do whatever I need to. I get my playlist ready for class. I've got that one meeting at 1 o'clock. And then the rest of the day is dedicated to Cycle Bar. I then have a running date night weekly with my husband. So again, this is going back to the idea of how do we make our work week something that we enjoy and we're not just trying to push through to get to Saturday. And I found that having a running date night, first off, allows us to prioritize each other. We get to be really present with one another, have a conversation. Maybe we open up a bottle of wine. We make dinner together, or maybe we make a reservation so we don't even have to worry about cooking that night. It's something I really look forward to. And then I have identified that for me, again, these are all personal to me, but they're things that I've heard other people talk about or through trial and error I figured out. And I think that's a really important thing to remember is that this takes time. You know, if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to implement all this next week, I'm going to hit it, I'm going to find the balance, you're a different person than me, right? We're all unique in that we have different needs, we have different gifts. And I'm just giving you these suggestions and hoping that you can incorporate these in your work life as well. And so I avoid scheduling no more than 2 in-person meetings a day with no more than 3 to 4 meetings total. So if I have 2 Zoom meetings, I'm not going to take more than 1 or 2 in person for that day. Otherwise, I don't get stuff done. I don't know about you, but when my day is full of meetings, there's no time for me to actually do the things that I'm meeting with people about, right? And I know based off conversations I've had that this is something that you too can relate to. So I think that's one of the biggest important things is to set boundaries. And the next one is to create systems. So you've created boundaries, which, you know, in a way could be systems. But I think systems and having them in place are really helpful in helping us to prepare for the unexpected, right? We kind of get down into a groove where we know what we need to do. And you've got your morning routine, you've got your evening routine, which is part of your systems. You know what your weekly deadlines are. And then all of a sudden, right, Billy's sick, you got to go pick him up from school, and now, oh, you know, you've got this meeting that just got put on your schedule, and your deadline just got pushed up, and you forgot about this project you had to work on. And that's when, if we don't have systems in place, something that already feels a little overwhelming can start to paralyze us. And that's where I think we start to find burnout as well. So creating systems helps us to also avoid what we call decision fatigue. So you only have so much energy, right? We only have so much decision making, which is why sometimes at the end of the day, when my husband and I are trying to figure out what to have for dinner, I'm like, I've already made so many decisions today, and so have you. You know, it makes total sense now why our increase in ordering out as Americans has increased. Right? We don't sit at the dinner table as often because it's really easy to just get takeout, go back to your computer, continue to work, or sit down in front of the TV and zone out. And so that's something that we're trying to work on is having a plan in action at the beginning of the week and identifying what are our meals going to be and making sure that we have those meals ahead of time. It's also part of why I meal prep for my snacks during the day and my lunches during the day, because I know I'm making enough decisions during the day. I don't need to be worrying about, like, how do I make the best healthy choice for me? You know, I want to use that energy towards other things. And then another system that's been really helpful for me is designating certain days to different things. So if you're someone who wears many hats, this is a really helpful tip. Or if you're someone who has a really hard time focusing on one thing at a time and you find that you're trying to work on your social media and then you're also trying to work on your business plan and you're also trying to, set up meetings and work on actually producing content. When we try to do all of that at once, we're not using our energy to our best of our ability. We're not using our creativeness to the best of our ability. And so I've taken different days. Monday, it's my cycle bar day. That's where I've got my one ongoing meeting. I go through, I organize all my playlists. I go through and I make sure scheduling is right. I update our themes if we need to for the month. I respond to any emails for that. And then I teach class. And then Tuesday, that's when I do my health coaching. So I coach my clients. And sometimes I'll take the dogs for a walk in the morning if I have a lighter schedule that day. And then I teach that night. Wednesday is my WomenS day, so I have all my WomenS meetings that day, any of our board meetings, when we're planning out our social media. If I need to work on social media content, it happens that day, and then I teach in the morning. Thursday is a health coaching day as well as Powerful Minds projects, working with our kids' nonprofit. And then right now I'm working into making Friday a half day. I've got it to a half day right now. And that's where I do all my little odds and ends. So whatever didn't get done earlier in the week, I put it into that day. Fridays I also reserve for podcasting typically. And then the rest of the half of the day, it's my day. Luke's not home. I get to do really like whatever I want. And it feels super good. Again, I understand not everyone has the luxury of doing this with a work day, but if you do have the luxury where you make your own schedule, again, a lot of us are getting into this. We're running our own business or we're working from home. If you can take a half day on Friday, you know, make your appointments for that day. It's I think, been really critical in my ability to find more balance in my life right now or more cohesion in my life right now. And then routines are so crucial in your systems. So again, we want to avoid decision fatigue, and there are things that we can plan for, and then there's things that we can't plan for. Having those routines in place allow us to feel more confident when things pop up that we can't plan for. Your morning routine, looking at what do you need? Again, what helps you to feel set up for the day? Do you need to meditate? Do you need to journal? Do you need to have time to sit down with your coffee? Do you need to go outside? Do you need to get your workout in? What are the things that you absolutely need to do to get started for the day? And what are the things that you want to do and you know that if you don't do them first thing in the morning, they won't happen? It's really important to identify those as well. Like, what are my non-negotiables? What do I need to get done? For me, that looks like I need to have time to journal. I need to have time to set intentions as well as get my workout in. Otherwise, I'm not a nighttime workouter. If it doesn't happen first thing in the morning, I just don't get my workout in. And that's something that I know. For me, it's really important that I move my body first thing in the morning. I show up better. I have better energy. It allows me to just be more fully present. And then same thing with your evening routine. Look at what helps you to wind down, what helps you to relax and really enjoy your night, what's going to help set you up for success for the next day. I think that's something that's really helpful to look at when planning an evening routine, is what's going to allow you to be productive for the next day and to get a really good night's sleep. Another thing, and I don't know if this is necessarily a system, but I would say it goes along with routines, is make time for breaks during your day. Get outside, read a book, do a puzzle. Getting outside has been shown to reduce our stress and anxiety. It improves our memory. It lowers our inflammation. It just kind of brings us back to life, right? Being in nature. And so I think that's something where if you are not currently scheduling time to go for a walk, or like I said, there at least one or two mornings a week, I really like to get outside and hike or go for a bike ride with my dad. And it's just, it's really changed my perspective. I can't quite explain it, but it allows me to just have more peace of mind. I think that creating these systems and creating these boundaries helps us to be more productive with the hours that we're working. Right, so going back to that statistic, we work about 50 hours a week, including on the weekends. And what people are finding is that we're not actually being productive with those hours. I want to say that out of those hours we're working, about 2.5 to 4 of those hours are actually being productive hours where we feel like we're getting a really good use of our time. And people found that they blamed this on having, one, too much work, and two, lack of clarity on our priorities. That to me is what sticks out to me when we say lack of priorities. So it's not necessarily too much work, but it's the lack of priorities. And so the next thing that I'm going to go over before we finish is to-do lists, and then what I call the big rocks, little rocks. And this helps in, one, giving you a lot of clarity on your priorities. And two, it's going to actually tell you if you're overscheduling. So if you're feeling burnt out, but you need to actually see it on paper and see how many hours you're actually working and where your time is being delegated to, this exercise I'm going to give you is going to help you with that. So when we look at a to-do list, the first thing that I have started to shift my thoughts towards, well, first, let me ask you a question. When you make a to-do list, how often are you actually crossing off everything on that to-do list? I'll tell you, rarely ever do I cross off everything on that to-do list. I've actually been known to go back to previous to-do lists and cross off things once I've done them like several weeks down the road because it makes me feel productive. It makes me feel like, okay, even though I didn't get it done when I wanted it to get done, it's done now. And so something that I've asked myself that has shifted the direction of how I create to-do lists is my goal to cross off everything on my to-do list? Like, is that the goal? Is the goal to just check everything off? And that's where identifying our goals, right? Those goals we identified at the very beginning, like what are you looking for out of this productive work week? And my goals are that I want to feel fulfilled and I want to feel happy and like I'm positively impacting the community and at peace. And these are what we would call are functionable goals. So what are the goals that you have where you have to, like you absolutely must meet those goals for you to function? Happiness, peace of mind, less stress, focus, clarity. And then the other goals that we set or the other visions that we have, if we can meet those initial functionable goals, we're going to be able to have more energy, have more clarity, and be able to prioritize our other goals. So let's look at what those goals would be. So you've got the functionable goals. Those are what you absolutely need to meet in order for you to fully function. Your other goals are, okay, I want to finish my project this week for CycleBar, or I want to create that new program for my health coaching course. You know, contributing to society, helping out with the community. That too, I would say would be like a vision where if I can meet my functionable goals, I'm better set and I'm better equipped to accomplish those. Does that make sense? I think that we could really dive into that a little bit more. But the goal here is that we're going to take your to-do list and you're going to just first dump everything you need to get done. You're going to dump everything. And if you've already created your system with your routines morning and night, those don't get included because you've already created it as a routine. It's just naturally going to happen because you've made it a habit. So if you're still currently working on morning and evening routines, that's a different focus right there. And maybe the things that you're trying to incorporate into your morning and your evening routines, that gets put on that to-do list. And it's going to get put at the top of the to-do list, by the way. So keep that in mind. If you already have your routine system figured out, you don't need to put that on your to-do list because it's already a habit. If you're working on your morning and evening routines, but you still can't quite get that meditation in, that meditation is on your to-do list. It's at the very top of it. Why? Because it's a functionable goal. It's going to help you function fully. From there, remember, everything is not going to get done. This thought is really important because it allows you to prioritize tasks and truly focus on progress over perfection. So we've already identified by setting ourselves up for success and being realistic, not everything's going to get done. I'm going to focus on the progress that I can get here and what's truly important. Once you have listed out everything that you need to do, you're going to go through and you're going to organize them into different categories. And this is going to look different for everybody. But the ways that I can, the examples I can best give you are, again, if you're wearing multiple hats, so for me, I've got something that says womeness, I've got something that says CycleBar, I've got something that says health coaching, and I have something that says personal. So maybe yours looks like, if you've got kids, it's, okay, school for kids, you've got maybe what you've got to get done at home, you've got your own job, what do you need to get done for your own job? And then there's one more category, and this will fall under for everybody, and this is personal. This is stuff that you need to do to fill your cup so that you're continuously feeling recharged and we're not hitting that burnout stage. So for me, what this looks like is for womeness, if I've got social media stuff I need to do. I'm going to say I've got to create social media content. If we're organizing our retreat, I need to organize our retreat. Even as specific as I need to reach out to this vendor or I need to reach out to this location. And I'm going to do that with everything. For CycleBar, I need to update the schedule. I need to send out our emails for our boot camp that we're getting ready to launch. You're going to identify everything underneath that. And this takes time, but you're going to set aside time at the beginning of the week. You've got an hour. You're not going to rush through this. You're going to sit down with your coffee or your tea or whatever your beverage of choice is. You're just going to get your comfies on. You're going to ask for no distractions. And that way you can fully go into this and set yourself up for your week. Once you've identified everything from there, you're going to start to market with what's your biggest priority. So what absolutely has to get done this week? It cannot wait until next week. That's a number one priority. That gets a star. And then next to it, you're going to put down how much time you're going to delegate to this. Now, if you're a visual person, I'm going to actually coach something on this. So wait for when our program gets released for this. But if, again, I know as a visual person, I'm like, wow, I need to see this in person to really see. But again, you've got your columns, you've starred the ones that are a priority, and then you're going to allocate how much time. And I would be generous, right? You're never going to be mad with having extra time. But if you've given yourself 30 minutes to work on something that you really know is going to take you a full hour, but then you've already delegated that other half hour that you're very optimistic on to something else, now we're starting to run out of time at the end of the week. That's where we get stressed. So allocate a little more time so that you have more time to budget with. Once you've done that, you're going to start to assign them for certain times during the day. So this is where, again, identifying days where you're going to work on certain projects comes in handy. So I know if I've got stuff for Womeness, I have Wednesday to work on it. So I need to be time blocking what I'm going to do and when. The nice thing about time blocking is that this gives us kind of a deadline idea. So we work well under this pressure of I need to get this done by then. And that way you're not spending extra time or getting distracted. You're focused on that one thing. Okay? So to summarize that, you're going to brain dump everything that you need to do. You're going to categorize it underneath whatever categories make the most sense to you. You're going to then prioritize by putting stars next to everything that needs to get done this week. And I want you to be really realistic with that. What needs to get done this week? And then making sure that you allocate how much time is going to go for each of those and then start to time block it in your calendar. Now, what I love about this, remember, we're going to go back to how we feel like we have too much work or we have lack of clarity in our priorities. Organizing your schedule this way gives you clarity in what your priorities are. And by giving yourself grace, and that if you don't get it all done, we're focused more on our progress over the perfection. What this will also tell you is that when you're totaling up all these hours and you're finding, wow, I'm working 50 to 70 hours, no wonder I feel burnt out. You can start to look at those things that didn't get the stars or maybe the things that don't excite you, and you can start to pull those out of your schedule. And that's another conversation, and that's where, you know, talking with Natalie, we'll talk about how to say no to things and why it's important to realize, like, no is a powerful word and no is a powerful responsibility of ours. But you'll start to see, like, how many hours am I delegating to what? And is this making me happy? And you also have your personal column. So am I making time to fill my cup? Okay, that was a lot of homework. Let me know how this works for you. I'll tell you, it took me a good few months to really get that system down. Very beginning of the week, give yourself an hour to do this and not rush through it. And it's going to help you just go in with a lot more clarity. Okay, last thing I'm going to give you is avoiding weekend burnout. So weekend burnout would be you are still working on the weekends. You're not taking time to refill your cup, or you're overcommitting on the weekends, right? There's that idea of, like, work hard, play hard. Well, when are you resting? And so instead of filling your weekend up with, okay, I'm going to go to brunch on Saturday, and then I'm going to go for a hike afterwards, and then I've got happy hour, and then I'm going to go to a movie, and then Sunday, well, I've got brunch again, and then I'm going to go to this class, and then I'm going to try to get ready for the week. Like, that exhausts me just thinking about it. And so looking at your weekend as this is your rest time. This is your bucket filler. And I remember growing up, we were only allowed to do one thing every weekend, just one thing. And at the time, it drove me crazy because all my friends would get to do all these other things. And we were only allowed to do one extracurricular activity outside of, I want to say like, actually that doesn't really, I did piano. And then I think I could do one extracurricular sport. So I had a club, I had my music lessons, and then I could choose one extracurricular sport a season. I know it's not relevant to the weekends, but I just am reminiscing on, you know, some of these things that my parents put in place that have really helped me now. And so one thing on the weekend, that's your activity. And then again, going back, if you do your personality type, you'll learn how you recharge. And I know for me, I'm an extroverted introvert, I think is what they call them. So when I'm out, I am outgoing, but I recharge by being by myself or by being alone and doing something that is more personal and more internal. So identifying how your cup gets filled and then using your weekend to do that. You know, getting outside, spending time with my dogs helps me. Being with my husband and making sure we have time, just the two of us, because our work week is busy and it's a type of busy that I enjoy and that doesn't stress me out like it used to. But it is really important that we are intentional in making time to be together. Wow. How's your cranium doing? Are you still with me? So let's summarize this because we went over a lot of information. This is probably one you're going to want to re-listen to and take some notes of things that really stood out to you that you want to work on. And I'll encourage you, identify just one thing right now. If you know that routines are something you need to work on, let's just start there, work on your routines, and let's build off of that. So in summary, you're going to identify what your goals are. Right? What are you looking to get out of your work week? And then you're going to identify a plan of action. That's going to include boundaries that you need to set, systems that you want to create, your routines, morning, evening, and then look at the value in your weekend. Are you really getting out of it what you want to? Cool. I hope you enjoyed this. I know, again, that was a lot of information. And if you have questions or if something stood out to you and you're like, you know what, let's unpack this more. Let's go more into depth there. Send me a message. I want to know what you find interesting. I want to know what's really just driving home for you right now. And that's where we'll move from there, okay? All right, Life Sisters, I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day, rest of your week. I can't wait to see you next time. See ya. All right, thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghauer and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.